Good morning, everybody. It is Gina Crash, and here we are, More Than Pink Walk Morning, and we're joined by our friends from Comen, Maryland. This is Spotlight on Maryland, and we've got Kim Schmulowitz back, affectionately referred to around here as Comen Kim. She's the communications director for Susan G. Komen, Maryland. Welcome back, Kim.
Hey, always great to be here with you, Gina.
So great on Walk Morning. We used to call it Race Morning for many, many years, right?
We're so excited. We're up early.
It's going to be happening again for the second year at Columbia Gateway a little later on this morning, 7 a.m., right?
7 a.m., Walk Village opens.
Got it.
Then the walk goes off at 9.
Perfect. And you've brought with you Alyssa Thorner, who is the program manager at Johns Hopkins Breast Cancer Program and also the co-director of the Young Women with Breast Cancer Program, which is amazing, Alyssa. We're going to hear all about that in your story coming up a little later on in the show, too.
Thanks. Good morning, Gina.
Great to see you. And you're going to be out at the Walk Village as well.
I will. Absolutely. I'll be there with my family.
That's awesome. And can we let out a little secret? You are a breast cancer survivor.
I am. Yes. I'm excited to wear the pink.
That's awesome. That's so great. The Survivor Parade is one always one of our favorite
attractions. It's the most moving part of the day for me.
Very powerful.
Love it. So our introduction here about Susan G. Komen, it is the world's largest nonprofit breast cancer organization working to save lives and end breast cancer forever. And Komen, Maryland is a top local affiliate in the Komen Network and is helping fuel research and support people facing breast cancer across the state. And Komen, Maryland's largest fundraising event, the More Than Pink Walk we've been talking about, is going to be held this morning in Columbia at Columbia Gateway. It's October 13th, in case anyone's just waking up, right? So welcome back. Also, we're in the thick of October being Breast Cancer Awareness Month nationally, which is really, really important. And give us, I guess that's a good way to kick things off, about how important that is and kind of the stats and where we are now.
Yeah, thanks, Gina. Breast cancer affects so many people. 1 in 8 women in the U.S. will get breast cancer in his or her lifetime, rather. Breast cancer also affects men. About 2% of those diagnosed with breast cancer are men. Maryland has the 6th highest death rate from breast cancer in the country.
Wow.
Yeah, about 6,000 people will be diagnosed this year in Maryland with breast cancer. About 41,000 people in the U.S. will die from breast cancer this year. So those are all some startling statistics.
Mm-hmm.
However, you know, we've come a long way over the years in the treatment of breast cancer, primarily through better early detection and through better treatments. But clearly, we have a lot of work to do. So it's still important to have Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and Komen is working harder than ever to end this disease.
And, you know, there are a lot of breast cancer organizations out there, but there is something that makes Komen different and special. What is that, Kim?
It is. We really take a 360 approach to breast cancer. We come at it from all sides. We are not only about research, which is an important part of the money that we raise, and Alyssa will talk more about that, but we're also about helping patients who are going through breast cancer. We're helping them to get the treatment that they need, the screenings that they need, transportation to appointments, psychosocial services, just all around to help people who are going through breast cancer. And we do that on the local level. We fund local breast health programs here in Maryland across the state to help those women. That also helps with better access to care, because really to fight breast cancer is the key way to fight it is twofold. Through research and through access. Our experts at the national level tell us that we could cut breast cancer deaths by a third with no new science at all, just by improving access to care. People need to get transportation to appointments. They need help with co-pays and just paying for treatment in general. They need help caring for children. They need help with meals. They need psychosocial support. They need cultural support. If English is not their first language, they need help with breast cancer navigation, because it's a whole labyrinth of care. So Komen has resources to provide help for all of that. In addition, we advocate for better breast health policy on the federal level and local level to make sure, again, that everyone has access to the best breast health care. And then also we are out in the community. We're just, you know, letting people know what we do. So really we call it 4 pillars of Komen: research, care, community, action.
And so much more than pink is what's going through my brain. And the more you're telling us of all the great work you do in the community on behalf of those families and those battling breast cancer themselves. Also, you were mentioning meals and things like that. You do partner still with Movable Feast, right?
We do. They're one of our longtime grantees. Yeah. And they provide meals to patients going through breast cancer.
We just had them in not too long ago.
Oh,
so
great. Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, we're talking about you and all the great work that you do. And so it's mm-hmm. it's a wonderful partnership, one of the many partnerships that you have. So we've heard from time to time Komen's bold goal. And now if someone hasn't heard that, that's really important. What is that?
Yes, that's something we started a few years ago. We are hoping to cut breast cancer deaths in half by 2026. And so, again, a big part of that is fueling even more research into metastatic breast cancer, which is the most deadliest form of breast cancer, to put it bluntly. It's when breast cancer has traveled outside of the breast. And Alyssa can talk a little bit more about that.
Thank you for mentioning Alyssa Thorner. She does have a very, very important jobs, many actually, program manager at Johns Hopkins Breast Cancer Program, and also as co-director of the Young Women with Breast Cancer Program. Alyssa, please, yes, tell us what exactly you do at Hopkins. I know it's multifaceted.
Yeah. So, Gina, thanks so much for having me on. So at Hopkins, I wear several hats. So I help with our survivorship program and making sure that our patients who are diagnosed have the care and the support that they need from the time of diagnosis, but then all the way through treatment and beyond. So what that means is making sure we're giving them the right support, connecting them to the right community resources. Komen's a great partner in that way. We want to make sure that they're taking care of their other health and wellness needs, making sure they have a primary care doctor, they're exercising, eating healthy, et cetera. So that's one of the hats I wear. In addition to that, I do a lot of education and communication for our department, which means I'm always doing things like webinars, videos, sort of getting out in the community, talking to people, trying to find ways that we can educate patients and families when they're wanting that information or needing that information. And besides those kind of things that I do, I wear a couple other hats, including I have a variety of other research projects looking at how we can improve the outcomes of our cancer patients during and after treatment, and for our metastatic patients, how we can prolong their lives, hoping that they live well for as long as possible. And then the final thing that I do is I oversee our young women's program. So we were very fortunate to receive a grant about 5 years ago to look at the unique needs of young women with breast cancer. We know these women have lots of other competing things, not just dealing with their breast cancers. A lot of these women have young families, they're dealing with fertility issues, they're dealing with employment issues, insurance issues. So we know that they need a little extra support. I oversee that program and the day-to-day sort of operations on that. Kim mentioned a minute ago metastatic breast cancer. We've been really fortunate to get some funding to actually start a specific program for young women with metastatic disease at Johns Hopkins. So sort of looking at not just the medical, but the psychosocial needs and how we can best support these patients at Hopkins and in the community.
Wow. So yes, many hats indeed. Yes. And do you guys want to mention most recently you did get a big grant at Johns Hopkins for that research to continue to expand what you're doing? And
yeah.
And just real quick, Alyssa, I'm going to imagine it's such a big help for you being a survivor yourself.
Yeah.
You know what a patient needs. You know what a family needs. Does that help you a ton?
Yeah. So I think two separate questions there. So yeah, as you mentioned, you know, I am a breast cancer survivor. I was actually diagnosed at the age of 23. I found the lump in my breast at 21, and my doctors kept saying young women don't get breast cancer. So this is something that's obviously near and dear to my heart. Being involved in breast cancer didn't just start at the age of 23. My mom was actually diagnosed with breast cancer. So I feel like I've been living in this community for almost my entire life, which is sort of the good and the bad, right? But I can sit with a woman. I can sit with a woman and say, you know, today is awful. Tomorrow's probably not going to be so good either, but it's not always going to feel this bad. It's not always going to feel this sad and this hard, like life is sort of closing in on you. It does get better. It's not always going to feel that bad for your family. Yes, your child might slam the door at you, or you may be screaming or crying or acting out in other ways, but I can promise you that life will return to some sense of normalcy. Your relationships with your friends, your husband, etc., those might be strained, or they may just be different and people take on different roles. But again, sort of life often does return back to either a new normal or back to normal. And so I like to go in every day and say, look, I was a patient that couldn't walk up a flight of stairs, and now I do triathlons. And now I can sort of say that, like, cancer doesn't have to always be such a horrible thing in your life, that you can sort of move beyond breast cancer for a lot of our patients. So that's been really exciting.
That's amazing.
The other question that you asked was about all the amazing support that Komen has given us. So we have been very fortunate at Johns Hopkins to receive all kinds of support from Komen over the years. We've received 75 grants from Komen in a variety of different capacities. That equates to $34 million. $1 billion, which has been incredible to see all the different ways that Komen has helped us, both from a research perspective, but also from really community grants that we've been able to assist patients with some of the very basic needs that they have when they're in treatment. Right now, Komen is supporting three different initiatives for us, which has been really great. They've given us a grant to study how a protein called BIRC2 protects breast cancer from immunotherapy. So you hear a lot, that's sort of a big word, big buzzword in the community right now is immunotherapy.
What is that exactly? Because I have a friend from college, she's stage 4 sarcoma.
Yeah.
And she's going through that as her next stage of treatment. So what exactly is that if somebody's not aware of
what
that means?
Yeah, so immunotherapy is sort of this buzzword that we use, but it's the idea of looking at things to sort of attack the immune system. So what we know about cancer is, in a very simplistic level, is that cancer is sort of the rapid producing of unhealthy cells. Your body doesn't recognize them as being bad cells and continues to make more of them. Immunotherapy finds ways to sort of trigger your immune system to attack those cells. Unfortunately, with breast cancer, we haven't been quite successful as we have with other diseases using immunotherapy. You've got a lot of other techniques, but immunotherapy isn't really great. So this particular research looks at maybe why we're not doing such a great job with immunotherapy, why we can't sort of turn off those bad cells and tell your body, hey, your immune system should kick in and say this is bad and we need to get rid of it, and how we can turn off that protein and look at other ways to sort of make your body be healthy. In addition to that, we have received a grant that looks at taking out blood samples. So for a woman who may have something abnormal show up on a mammogram or may feel a lump, they may be recommended to have a biopsy, which can be painful, uncomfortable, obviously very worrisome. And for women that are diagnosed with breast cancer, they're often going through a variety of treatments. One of the grants that Komen has allowed us to do is actually take out blood samples for a woman that has metastatic disease and look at the circulating metastatic cells in her body, test various treatments so we know what might work and what might not work. For our metastatic patients that are probably going to be going through lots of treatments, unfortunately, it's a really great way of being able to decide what treatments may be effective and may be less effective, rather than that trial and error where we put you on treatments that are expensive, they may not work, and they make you really sick. We can figure out, hopefully with this grant, have a better sense moving in that direction of how we can test those cells outside of your body, test certain treatments, and then let you know what treatments must be most effective. And finally, the one that I'm really excited about is a collaboration we have with the Translational Breast Cancer Research Consortium, TBCRC as it's known. Quite a mouthful, right?
Yeah.
And Komen has been a huge supporter of that in the past. Since 2008, they've given us $13.7 million for this consortium, which is huge. Right now, they've just given us a $1.9 million grant. So this consortium is really what I think is really unique. It's where we bring together a variety of academic medical centers, 19 different medical centers, to say, let's bring the leading cancer researchers together and let's start talking about some of these issues. So previously, what we're doing at Hopkins, they may be doing something different at MD Anderson or at Dana-Farber, sort of these leading cancer centers. And we're saying, let's break down those silos, all work together. We all have the same goal of eradicating breast cancer. So let's find ways that we can share research, collaborate with each other. So the TBCRC allows us to do that. We're very fortunate at Komen and at Hopkins to have that collaboration. At Hopkins, Antonio Wolf, who's one of our physician scientists there, is leading the Translational Breast Cancer Research Consortium. He's right there, prime time. He's the executive director. So he's helping all of these organizations work together to come up with better care for breast cancer.
So important and so encouraging, isn't it?
It's great. We are so fortunate to have a big research institution in our community like Johns Hopkins. So everyone can know that when you make a donation to Komen Maryland through the walk or just online or whenever, that you can be sure that it's going to come back to our community, not just to support local programs and people getting screened and getting, like we mentioned, transportation to appointments, things mm-hmm. like that, but also going to this fantastic research we have right here in our community.
Yeah. And real quick, Alyssa, back to your survivor story. You talked a little bit about your breast cancer journey. Is Hopkins what brought you here initially with the treatment of your breast cancer? And you kind of haven't left, right? Because there's so much work to be done. Is that sort of how it happened?
So, Gina, I often tell people that my doctors did a really good job of removing disease, but they didn't do such a great job of getting me well. So I was treated at Hopkins and at other places in the community, and I was really fortunate. I was very lucky. I had a lot of support from my family, from my friends, from the community, from places like Komen and other organizations. So I feel like I was really lucky. But I went from being young and active and being really energetic to not being able to walk up a flight of stairs. I went from never really having many sort of issues to feeling sad and depressed and anxious. And every time I took a shower, I was examining my breasts, fearful that my cancer would come back. So in my mind, it was the idea of finding ways to partner with other organizations to say, it doesn't always have to be that bad. It doesn't have to be that scary. It's sort of that sort of lead from experience and helping other families and patients realize that this is challenging, but it doesn't have to always feel terrible.
Yeah, and from that to the fact that you're, you know, running triathlons, and of course later on this morning participating in the More Than Pink Walk,
right?
It's really, really inspiring, and a very good time to talk about how Komen was known for Race for the Cure, which you did many, many years. How many shirts do you have now?
Oh yeah, so my aunt used to work with a radio station and a TV station here in Baltimore, and so was actually an honorary chair of Komen for many years. So actually, we have all these pictures of me being very little at these races. I was at the very first Komen race, and I have 20 shirts. So there's only been one that I know of that I've missed, and that was the year that my daughter was born 10 years ago. She was 8 days old, and we were going. I had cut up her little pink shirt and we were going to go. We woke up that morning and it was sleeting and raining, and I was forbidden by my husband to go out at that time. But I was there. I was there in spirit. I was watching. I was listening, and I definitely missed being there. So I've been involved in Komen, like I said, my whole life. And they've been such an inspirational organization. I just feel so excited that I get to be a part of that.
Yeah, for sure. And just feeding off the other participants and survivors that are there. It's a really, really special day. So, Kim, you rebranded completely recently to the More Than Pink Walk. This is the first year for that, right?
It is. The Race for the Cure, as Alyssa mentioned, had been going on for 26 years in Maryland. Our first race was in 1993 down in Baltimore on Rash Field. And it's evolved over the years. And with the bold goal and some of the new initiatives we have at Komen, we took a hard look at our race, and we decided that it needed to be revamped. And we were discovering that only about 7% of the people were running the race. And to accommodate those 7% was very expensive for us to have a certified race course and to have a timing team and to have a timing chip and bibs and all of that. So we decided to really make the event for the people who were coming, and that's primarily walkers. And we wanted to drill down to our core supporters. In addition, we wanted to change the name to better reflect what Komen is. And we're about more than pink, as it says. Mm-hmm. It's not enough to put on a pink shirt or to put on pink shoelaces and say, I'm doing this for breast cancer awareness. You need to take another step and take action in the fight against breast cancer. You need to donate. You need to volunteer with us. You need to get involved in a bigger way. So we wanted to move beyond the pink. Pink will always be our signature color. You'll see a sea of pink survivors on walk day. I know you guys have the pink room tent on walk day. But we wanted to go beyond that. So you'll also see new at the walk this year, some tents that reflect what else Komen does. You'll see a purple tent for research. You'll see an orange tent for action. You'll see a blue tent for care. And you'll see a green tent for community, representing the four pillars. And you'll, in those tents, this morning, you'll learn more about Komen's mission with some really fun interactive activities.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that.
And we'll have a new refreshed opening ceremony where we talk about the pillars. We'll keep it short, only about 15 minutes. We'll have the survivor parade, and then we'll get you out on the course. And I think everybody will leave today feeling like they know a little bit better about what Komen does, and also feel like they have an important role in the fight against breast cancer.
That's why it's such an important signature event for you guys, because you've got everything out there for people to understand more about what you do.
It is. It's an entry into our organization for a lot of people. And then they become, like Alyssa, they become year-round supporters and get involved in other ways with Komen through their entry into the walk. And it's also our biggest fundraiser. I mean, we raise probably 60% of our funds that help programs like the ones at Johns Hopkins through the walk. So that's why we put so much emphasis on it. And even if you can't come today, if you're feeling snugly in your bed listening to us, and you can still donate on the web to the walk or just to Komen in general, and feel like you've taken some action in the fight against breast cancer.
And I think we have a better idea today from having you and Alyssa here explaining where that money goes and how important it is to raise. And also that you mentioned the Pink Room, just to explain a little bit about that. With Today's 101.9, we're a proud media partner and have been for many, many years. The Pink Room was sort of like started when, right when hashtags and Twitter and Instagram got so popular. And so it's a chance for survivors and anybody to come by, pick up a pink boa and take a, you know, fun little selfie together. And people really look forward to it every year. So it's kind of our little thing that we can do. One of the many attractions of the
day. You guys make the day really fun. Oh, I know thanks. That the whole team is there, Fran and Jimmy and Greg.
Yep, and Maria Dennis
and
this
Maria
year.
Dennis. Oh, that's right. Yep. And so it's a great opportunity for listeners to come and meet you all and to you guys always have a role on the stage and throughout the day. So we're so grateful for 101.9 support in the walk every year.
Likewise, and we love that you come on and you know, we've been on the morning show with Greg and I a couple times this season as always, and it's just so great because you're just so knowledgeable and so helpful and so compassionate.
Well, I'm feeling a little less knowledgeable sitting next to Alyssa. Well, she really is the fountain of knowledge.
She rattles off the stats. It's great. So Alyssa, we know you're going to the walk now, yes. Which formerly the race for many, many years. You know, since you were are a survivor, so what's your experience there like as a survivor? How much more special does that make it for you?
So, Gina, I'll have to tell you, as you guys were mentioning, the Parade of Pink, I've been doing this for many years, and it never gets easier. Every year I tear up, and I see the patients that I've worked with year after year, and even myself. I have to tell you, the first year that I did the Komen walk after I was diagnosed, I got that pink shirt in the mail, and I said, I'm not wearing that. I don't want to be associated as a survivor. I sort of had a breakdown. And now I'm proud to wear that pink shirt. I sort of feel like this is something I've been able to be victorious over, and helping other people along their journey has been pretty remarkable. But to see the strength of people coming out and seeing people with their families, I love seeing the kids, the grandkids, the husbands, and sort of the strength that is always there at these Komen races and walks. It just sort of, again, brings tears to my eyes to see all the powerful people supporting this cause.
It is. It's quite an image.
You know, what I really wanted to say about the Parade of Pink is it's an opportunity for people to feel not alone. A lot of times breast cancer is a lonely journey, and even with all the support that's out there, and I know a number of survivors said to me that the first time they went out to a Komen walk is when they felt not alone. So it's very moving. We've also had people who have met each other, colleagues at work or friends that didn't know one another had breast cancer, because there has been such a stigma. And like you said, you don't know, you don't really want to put it out there. Maybe you're afraid you'll it will affect your job or it will affect your relationship. So you keep it quiet. And then in Parade of Pink, you run into somebody and they become, you know, friends for life that way.
Yeah.
So I think also the walk kind of breaks down some of those barriers and says it's okay.
Yeah. And Alyssa, you've been very frank about how it's not always a happy place that you're in. You know, it's okay to talk about that and admit that. And someone else might be feeling the same way. And chances are they are. You know?
No, I think that's right. And I have to say that over the years with the Parade of Pink, just standing shoulder to shoulder with someone, as I mentioned, feels very powerful. And I can stand next to someone who is 50 years older than I am and may come, you know, from a very different background than I come from, and still feel that we've walked the same steps together, and the things that divide us are less, so much fewer than the things that unite us. And so it's been really incredible to see that. And I can also say from my own personal experience going out there at 24, 25 and going through treatment, I was often sort of questioned in the waiting room if I was waiting for a mom or a grandma. And I felt so young and so alone, as Kim mentioned, and that I really didn't relate to people who were talking about picking up their grandkids next week. And I'm like, I have 25 things I have to do before the end of the day. What are you talking about? What's happening next week?
Yeah.
And coming to a place like the walk and seeing all of these survivors who share experiences, and people that look like me and talk like me and live in my community and have gone through the same things I've gone through, really sort of puts me at ease and sort of realizes I'm not alone in a really incredible way. And I think you're right. The first walk that I went to, I thought, wow, I'm not an N of one. I am with my other sisters and some brothers who are walking the same journey.
Yeah, and real quickly, I want to say there's a place at the walk for a breast cancer survivor that's been a survivor and cancer-free for 25, 50 years, as well as those in the metastatic community. We do have room for those patients as well who will always have breast cancer and are living with it and have a whole different set of issues. There's a place at the walk for both of those groups.
That's very important. That's cool. And also, I'm understanding more and more, the more Alyssa shares her story with us about how that really inspired you to co-direct the Young Women with Breast Cancer program at Hopkins and all the other great programs that you've, you know, instituted. You're helping so many people.
Thank you. It's a labor of love. Every day I wake up and think I have the best job in the world.
Yeah, you really do an amazing job. And how are you feeling? You know, that side of things, is everything?
Oh, I feel great.
That's awesome.
I feel like I've never felt better or stronger. It took a long time to get there. It didn't happen overnight. And I often say, I really thought when treatment ended that I would go back and sort of that treatment ended on a Friday and Monday morning I was going to go back to my life. And it took a long time to heal my body, to heal my spirit, to emotionally get back to a place where I wasn't so angry or fearful about what was going on. So it takes some time, and it was sort of learning how to be a patient, which I am not good at, but it's definitely been a journey.
Even after all you've been through, you know that.
Yeah, absolutely. You're
like, yep. It's a new normal for you.
Full disclosure.
Yes, that's an expression you do hear with a lot of folks. And so where the funds today are, it's so important, that are going to be raised today at the More Than Pink Walk, which is coming up at 7 a.m. starts, right?
Yay!
Columbia Gateway. What are some of those things this calendar year coming up, Kim, that you're hoping to, put those dollars towards, in addition to the great work that they're doing at Hopkins with Alyssa's programs?
Well, we have on our website, if you at comanmd.org, you can click on Community Impact and you can see a whole list of our community grantees. They include hospitals, health departments, organizations like you said, like Movable Feast, mm-hmm. or organizations that help Latina women, help African American women, help vulnerable populations across the state. So it's a wide variety of places where the funds go, in addition to the life-saving research.
Right. And when you open up that access and you're saving so many lives, those numbers can come down, like you said, even just preventatively sometimes too. But then also those that are in the thick of the fight, you work with everyone.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, how about, I know social media. Oh, Alyssa was raising her hand.
Yeah, I was just going to say, sorry, Gina, if I just chime in real quick.
Sure.
One of the really great partnerships that I really value about Komen is that they support all this really high level research in the laboratory, things that I don't even really understand so much, but that are these really smart scientists are doing, which is amazing. But I can also call my partners at Komen, which I did last week, and said, hey, I have a young woman who needs a ride to treatment. We don't have another way to do it. Do you guys have any resources? Or I need meals. What can you do? So it really is getting into the sort of the nitty gritty of day-to-day care and supporting patients, including all the way up to high-level research that probably will not go from the bench to the bedside for many years. So they are really supporting us across the continuum from the beginnings of science all the way through treatment, metastatic patients, and beyond.
That partnership is everything, isn't it? We are wrapping up with time here. So real quick, where can people find you on social media? And also, if either one of you want to do some final words before we head off to the More Than Pink Walk.
Okay, so Komen, you can find us at KomenMD.org, KomenMD.org/MarylandWalk. And we're all over the socials. Komen MD is just look for that and you'll find us.
Perfect. And we follow you, like all your stuff and everything. And how about Alyssa? Anything you wanted to add?
No, just thank you so much for being here. Komen, thank you for what you do. You have really been such a huge part of my life and my family's life for a very long time. And I see what the benefits you're doing in our patients every day.
That's awesome, you guys. Thank you both for joining me. We just heard Alyssa Thorner. She's program manager at Johns Hopkins Breast Cancer Program and co-director of the Young Women with Breast Cancer Program. And Komen Kim Schmulowitz, communications director of Susan G. Komen, Maryland. You guys, we better lace up our shoes and get up to Columbia Gateway.
Yes. Let's hurry.
So excited.
Awesome. The More Than Pink Walk. More info at KomenMD.org.
Yes.
Yes. And you can reach out to me on social media as well at Gina Crash on all the platforms. We'll put you in touch with each other. So you guys, we'll see you out there in the Walk Village, Columbia Gateway. With our friends at Today's 101.9 and all our partners here, 105.7 The Fan, Mix 106.5. And HFS at 104.9. Thank you guys for listening this morning. Spotlight on Maryland is a production of Entercom Baltimore.